The book of 1 Samuel chapter 17. For sake of time, and of course you're familiar, I'm sure, with this passage of scripture with David and Goliath and so forth. But I want to read what I think is a key verse as to why the men of Israel, Saul's army, was not fighting against Goliath. We've been preaching on this, that we're just picking up where we left off, but when David came, just summarize a little bit, when David came to, as his daddy sent him, Jesse sent him, and he come to the battle, and he brought 10 loaves there, verse 17, and he brought parched corn to feed them, and to just see how things were going. When he come, of course, his own brothers began to insult him and began to question him. Oh yeah, we know why you're here. You know, we know what you're doing here. You're just here to see the battle. We know the naughtiness of your heart, and we know your pride in verse number 28. Basically, they're saying, David, we know why you're here, which was a false assumption. Right. But then David's question was, is there not a cause?
Right. Right.
Why are y'all not doing something?
Right.
That's what he was questioning, Brother J.R. Here's a defying Philistine giant, defying God. Why are y'all not doing anything?
Right.
Don't worry about why I'm here. Why are you not doing nothing? Amen. I'm going to preach right there a minute. Most people are concerned about minor things when they've got major things going on in their life. They're trying to throw guilt on somebody else when they're guilty of a greater fault. David said, don't worry about me. You say, I've got pride. That's wrong. You say, I've got naughtiness of heart. That's wrong. But why are you not facing this giant? Why are you not taking care of business? That's not a false assumption. But anyway, David said, I'll tell you why. In verse number 32, David talking to Saul, this identifies why they weren't doing anything, and this identifies why we're not doing anything if we're not doing anything. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Let's pray. Father, I ask you to use the message today. Use your servant. Lord, I pray, speak to us. Deal with us today. Bring conviction, Lord, upon sinners. Those that are clinging to an empty profession. Lord, that has not change their life, that has not given them a heart for the Lord. I pray you'll show them that they need to get in the Word of God, and need to get back on their knees. They need to get the goods. Because people that just simply have professed to be saved are not going to heaven. It's only those who are truly and genuinely, scripturally saved are going to heaven. I pray, dear Lord, you'll help me now. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. If you will, keep your Bibles open there, and let's look at this together. But David is showing here's why, that some of you able men, he would be referring to Saul's army, some of those in Saul's army, they could have probably defeated Goliath if they would have. Amen. What would you do if you could? And what could you do if you would? Amen. Yeah, that's good. Somebody need to write that down. But David said, I know why there's inactivity here is because heart failure. Heart failure. We've already been preaching on that out of this passage of Scripture. We preached out of Luke 24, I think, three messages on a cold heart and a burning heart there in that passage. Here we're preaching out of a heart failure. Let no man's heart fail. Because of him, saying that's what's happening. And the reason David responded at the end of that verse and said, thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine, he said, my heart hadn't failed. Right. He said, this giant hadn't caused heart failure in me.
Right.
He said, that's why I'm rising to the challenge, though I am only a teenage boy. But he said, I'm rising to the challenge because something needs to be done.
Right.
Amen. And a lot of people agree something needs to be done, but they also would say somebody else do it.
That's right.
Where's the David's at? Where's that spirit at that would rise up and say, you know, something needs to be done, and if nobody's going to do it, why not me? If anybody's going to do something, why not me? And step up to the plate. It's better to die trying, amen, than to not try and succeed. That's right. Heart failure. We've been trying to preach on that just a little bit, and we're going to continue to do so today. I looked at the word fail, and I mentioned this the other day when we were preaching out this passage of Scripture. Let no man's heart fail. And that word fail means to fall down. It also means cast down. It means to fall away, to overthrow, to lie down. Also, it means to rot, which identifies a decaying, a declining process. Amen. And so here we find that David said your heart has fallen down. The reason you're not in the battle, the reason you're not in the fight, the reason you're not standing is because your heart has been cast down. Your heart has failed down. Your heart has been overthrown. And I'm convinced today from these verses and many others that the target of the devil is your heart.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
I believe the target of the devil is your heart. I believe he wants to overthrow your heart. I believe he wants to cast down your heart. I believe he wants to fill your heart with so full of fear and carnality and many other things that you don't have a heart for the Lord. The devil knows that if you don't have a heart for the Lord, you won't do anything for the Lord. When your heart fails, it renders you inactive. Amen. Just as in the passage here, here were some men hiding in the rocks that probably could have whipped Goliath, amen, had they had faith first and foremost, but if they would have made the effort. But David had the effort and he also had the confidence. David trusted in the Lord. He realized that it wasn't how strong he was, it was how big his God was, amen. That's right, amen. But I thought about that cast down or that falling down of the heart. And as I preach here and have been preaching here 21 years and I preach other places, I want to tell you I'm overwhelmed at how much heartlessness is in the church today. There's heartlessness in preaching. There's heartlessness in singing. I'm talking about generally. Amen. I mean, it's hard to find a preacher that'll preach from his heart. Most of them, and I've done my part of it, preaching from my head. And that don't do anything. Head preaching only will reach your head. It'll give you information. But heart preaching, my friend, will reach your heart and will give you inspiration. Amen. We need heart preaching. We need heart singing. We need heart praying. I believe the devil desires and has designed half-heartedness in the house of God. Amaziah, 2 Chronicles 25, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. Half-heartedness is killing us. It's killing our churches. I want to tell you, we're losing this generation because of it. Amen. I've been thinking and meditating the last couple of days on it. I don't know if I'll preach on it or make a few comments next Sunday on it or whatever, which is our youth Sunday. But I've been wondering, where is the convictions of this generation? Where's the personal convictions of the present generation of kids that knows, hey, this is right and this is wrong and I'm not ever going to change on this and I'm settled on that and my heart is fixed in this matter? I see very few children with any kind of convictions of their own, being persuaded in your own mind of what is right and what is wrong. Amen. A lot of kids has got parental convictions.
You're right.
As long as mom and dad's around and enforcing the law and issuing discipline, they're okay with this and with that. But as soon as mom's not looking, it's all over. It's changed. We do the other. That's not conviction. And young people, I want to tell you something. The Barner Group, which is a notable polling group, surveying group, not a Christian group, but a secular group, They polled a lot of Christians and Christian families and Christian teens in churches just like we're sitting in today. 88% of young people raised in churches like you're sitting in today, when they reach 18 years old, will leave the house of God never to come back. You know what you better get, young people? And I don't know why I'm on this right here. David's a good example of it. You better have your own convictions. You can't go off of somebody else's, because when they're not with you, you'll change. When they're not looking, you'll change. What is it that you've been persuaded of in your own heart? I've been preaching here 21 years and preach my heart out and preach everything I know, and some I wasn't even sure about. Amen. And I've watched young people after young person after young person after young person go right the opposite to everything I've ever preached and ruin their life. We're not here playing games. Me pastoring this church and preaching here, that's not the sideline subject with me. Amen. I take it serious to preach to you, because I know if you'll heed it, it'll help you. But it don't matter who's preaching. If you don't heed it, it won't help you. Amen. What kind of convictions do you have, young ladies? Now, I don't mean to make that message now. I probably shouldn't even started on it. But I've been really thinking. I've been troubled at how many young people's leaving the house of God and got that faraway look in their eyes, and no matter what they've heard and no matter where they've been and what they've saw spiritually, they're going in the wrong direction. What convictions do you have? What convictions do you have about a mate that one day you'll pick? Are you really, you going to settle for just anything with hair on their head? Are you going to settle for that? What convictions you got? Are you going to let a boyfriend or girlfriend budge the boundaries in your life? You need some boundaries in your life. You need some convictions in your life. Amen. And if they don't line up, they're not a candidate. Send them on down the road, Jack. Send them on down the road. Amen. That's right. I did that, preacher. And listen, I'm going to tell you, I did that. I'm not just preaching hearsay. I'm preaching what no doubt probably salvaged my early ministry. This particular girl, and if I called her name, some of you may have heard of her, used to be well known in the singing, gospel singing world and so forth. And I mean, beautiful, I thought. And I thought, man, I want to date that girl. I'm going to do whatever I can to make a move in that direction. Prayed about it and fasted and everything else. Amen. Well, anyway, I got the nerve to ask her one day. Well, yeah, we'll go out to lunch. I about fainted. I about passed out. I thought, yes, amen. Yeah, I mean, it's happening. It's happening. And I went to pick her up, and I it was all over my face. I was so disappointed, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. How she was dressed. I had convictions and still do on dress issues. And I went to pick her up and I thought, unto God, what my dream was is now a nightmare. And she, hey, she saw it. She saw it on my face. She said, do you have a problem? I said, yes, ma'am, I have a problem. We went on and ate, but that was the end of the story. I wasn't about to compromise on it. Whatever you compromise to get, you'll have to compromise to keep. What convictions do you have about your mate, a boyfriend? Amen. When the Bible is explicitly clear on certain standards about what a boy should look like. And are you willing to cross the boundaries, girls, on that? Are you willing to budge the boundaries? Are you willing to make exceptions? Well, I know that was in the Bible, but God, you know, God's a God of grace and He understands. I'll change Him. Are you willing to take that chance? By the way, I'm not, listen, y'all need to pay attention to the preacher. This is not prayer time. Amen. Because I'm under the persuasion that if you're not looking at me, you're not listening to me. It's rude not to look at me when I'm preaching. I know I'm not a pretty sight, but I'm preaching the truth. Are you listening? What convictions do you have? Amen. Is everybody feeling that? What convictions do you have about a mate? What convictions do you have about music? What convictions do you have about music? I wonder, some of you, if you've got any. You still listen to the same old trashy garbage, and you wonder why your spiritual life is always in a mud hole. You wonder why your spiritual life is always dragging the ground. Why did David make a difference? He made some choices as a young lad. I'm talking about even prior to being a teenager, of what he was going to be and what he was going to do and how he was going to stand. He did not let family change him. He didn't even let Saul change him, who had a lot of influence, manipulative influence on him. Got tongue tied there. Amen. He didn't let Saul change him. He didn't let Goliath change him. He was settled in his heart of what he was going to be and what he was going to do and how he was going to stand. Amen. And he was responsible. Amen. What convictions do you have? I'm preaching on heart failure, but convictions reveal your heart. Amen. A person that does not have a heart for the Lord will not have any convictions. Convictions. I'm convicted of this. I'm convinced of this, that this is wrong or this is right. We're living in a day of anything goes. You know that's right. Anything goes. I mean, just whatever comes along, that's fine. And we treat God worse than a dog. It's a wonder He ever shows up. It's a wonder He ever speaks to us. It's a wonder He ever answers prayer. It's a wonder that He ever blesses. Amen. The way we do Him. Isn't that right? What convictions do you have? What convictions do you have about modesty? I should have waited and preached this next week. I just scooted Brother Titus over another slot and I'd have preached. Amen. What convictions do you have about modesty? How do you want to go out in public? How do you want to look? How do you want the opposite sex to look at you? Of course, nowadays it's dangerous to even get that single-minded. How do you want the public to look at you? What do you want them to see when they look at you? That's good preaching right there. And if you got the time, we can get in the Bible. I can give you verses for that. I can show you verses. But you know what? Even though there's verses on it, Brother Fultz, it don't matter to a lot of people. Living contrary to clear revelation. That's a lack of conviction. Amen. And on you could go with that about your conviction. But I'm troubled. Listen, Preacher Rackley won't always be around here. Are you listening? Preacher Rackley won't always be around here. Your mom and dad won't always be around here. There's going to come a time that you, just like Lot, are going to have to stand on your own two feet. You know why Lot crumbled? It's very simple. I preached on it here one time and actually titled the message, Standing on Your Own Two Feet. The reason Lot crumbled was because he built his entire life on Abraham. It was Abraham's altars. It was Abraham's sacrifices. It was Abraham's faith. It was Abraham's leadership. And then when there was a division and a splitting and a going separate ways of Lot and Abraham, then there all of a sudden that strong person was not in Abraham, in Lot's life. All of a sudden that person of faith, that person of influence was not in Lot's life. And then when that happened, Lot chose to go to the well-watered plains of Sodom and his life crumbled and he lost his family. Are you listening? God help us. Amen. The heartlessness that's in the church. Amen. Do you think if your heart's not in it, you're going to stay with it? Do you think if your heart is not in the Word, you're going to read it? No. If your heart is not in Sunday school, you're not going to come. You're not going to enjoy. You'll be bored out of your mind. If your heart is not in church, you won't be here for Sunday morning 11 o'clock or Sunday evening 6 o'clock or Wednesday night 7 o'clock. You won't be here. Why? You will follow your heart. Good or bad, you will follow your heart. And David said three times, we better watch our heart. Proverbs 4:23, keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The outgoings of life. Everything you do comes out of your heart. Where you're going to be 10 days from today, 10 years from today is already being molded and worked in your heart. Amen. And so David said three times, I'm going to have time to read them, but three times David said this in Psalms 40 and verse number 5, verse 6, and verse number, 42. Psalms 42, verse 5, 6, and 11. David said in verse 5 and 11, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me?" The other one, David is saying to the Lord, he put in question that those two times, "Why art thou cast down?" And then the other one in verse number 6, he says, "Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me." You better pay attention to your heart. Circumstances will pull your heart down. Situations will pull your heart down. Wrong relationships will pull your heart down. And David said, "My heart is cast down. My soul is cast down. It's disquieted within me." He said, "When I look within, I see quietness. When there should be loudness, there should be voice." He said, "My soul is disquieted within me." But here's what he said. David said in that condition, here's what I'm going to do. "Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." Amen. Verse 6, "Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me, therefore will I remember thee." Verse 11, he repeats what he'd said in verse 5 about "hope thou in God, for I will yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God." Can you look into your heart this morning? I can't see your heart. I can't see your heart. I can see some evidence that reveal your heart. Amen. Your desires reveal your heart. Everybody listening? You can't see your own heart. Did you know that? And when I'm talking about your heart, I'm not talking about that physical muscle pumping in your chest, the blood through your veins. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the center of your being. I'm talking about the center and the rotating point of your life. Everything rotates around your heart. You can live without a lot of things. You can live without a hand, a foot. You can live without a leg. You can live without, you know, a lot of things. Even some of your organs you can live without. But when that heart quits, you're out of here. It's the center of your being. It's the center of your affection. How can I see your heart? How can you see your heart? When's the last time you tried to see your heart? When's the last time you looked to see of your heart? How do you see it? Your desires. What's the desires of your heart? Are they spiritual today? Isn't that a simple question? Isn't that a simple question? Is your desires spiritual today? The dominant desires in your life, the driving desires in your life, the dictating desires in your life, are they spiritual? Most people in church today are not driven with spiritual desires. They're driven with financial desires and material desires and social desires. Is your heart's desires today spiritual and scriptural? Here's something else that reveals your heart. Your direction. The direction you're going in. Amen? The direction you're going in. Look, listen, Proverbs 4 didn't just tell us to keep thine heart with all diligence. You know what else he said? Ponder the path of your feet. Ponder the path of your feet. You know why? Why did he put that in the same context with your heart? Because as your heart is, so your feet will follow. What's your directions today? That is the revealing truth of your heart. You cannot have a spiritual heart without having spiritual desires. You cannot have a spiritual heart, amen, without having spiritual direction. But then also there's another way. And that is your spiritual, your dialogue reveals your heart. Your conversation. The words that come from your mouth. If you don't have a spiritual heart, you won't have a spiritual mouth. Because out of the abundance of the heart, what does the Bible say? The mouth speaketh. And even James reveals that sweet water cannot come from a bitter fountain. And vice versa. If your heart's bitter, your heart's not right with God. It'll show up in your mouth. Please give yourself this morning. I don't have time to evaluate you. You do that to yourself. Look at your desires. Are they spiritual? Look at your direction. Which way are you going spiritually? Is it toward the world and carnal and the things that suits and soothes the flesh? Or are you headed in a Godward direction? What about your dialogue, your conversation, the words that you use? It's amazing how many people that talk one way in church and then talk another at home or on the job. If I didn't have a salvation that wasn't big enough to clean my mouth up, I wouldn't trust it to take me to heaven. And I'm telling you, you're looking at a specimen of grace is what I'm saying. But when I got saved, friend, I had a filthy mouth. Filthy mouth. And I didn't learn that filthy mouth from mom and dad either. I did not learn that filthy mouth, Brother Fultz, from my grandparents or some of my relatives. I learned it from my peers. Running with heathens will make you a heathen. Amen. If your child is starting to use foul language and words that are unbecoming of a Christian, I don't even want to use words that's even questionable.
Amen.
There's even, come on now. Hello now, everybody listening. There's even words in the Bible, I will use them when I read them, but other than that, I never use them. Amen. Can I give you an example? Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter number 12. Yeah, how does it go there? If you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Now that's in the Bible, and I use it when I quote that verse because it's in the Bible and it speaks of being an illegitimate child. If you can do wrong and live your life in a wicked way and God doesn't tear your hind end up, amen, as a father would, God is saying you're not mine, and he uses that term bastard, but I don't use that term any other time. Other words in the Bible, they're in the Bible. And if I'm reading that verse, I will say it. But other than that, I will never say it. Why? It's got a questionable slant to it in our day. Well, amen. I don't know where all that went. We're getting some good instructional preaching, if nothing else, today. But I want to tell you, your dialogue reveals. Listen, but when I got saved, let me finish that. When I got saved, friend, I'm talking about I didn't have to go through a program. I didn't have to go through a process. When I got saved on January the 20th, 1981, as a 20-year-old heathen, rebellious heathen, when I got saved that night, I want to tell you, friend, my cusser got saved too, buddy. And to God be the glory, and I magnify, don't take me wrong now, I magnify the grace of God. I understand that, and you understand that. But I want to tell you, from that night I got saved to this present moment preaching, there has never been one come out of my mouth. God done a work in me. God done a work in me. My old music went out. I didn't argue with God about that. I wanted to. I didn't want to let that go, friend. I didn't want to let that go. That was too big, that was too big to me. But I knew if I was ever going to do anything for God, I was going to have to make sure I had a spiritual ear. Because if you don't listen to things spiritual, you'll not live spiritual. Amen. How you live. Faith comes by what? Hearing. God puts a lot of emphasis on hearing. What are you listening to? Amen. But your dialogue reveals your heart. You're always talking about everything in the book, but never talk about God. Something's wrong with that. You're bashful and you blush to talk about Jesus. You turn red when the subject comes up, and you even try to change the subject. Shame on any of God's people that would do that. Amen. Amen. God's, come on now. We're all like that. Come on now. We're not near as bold as we need to be. People use all kind of language around us and everything. Hey, you know what we ought to do? We ought to just say, hey, just wait a minute before you say anything else. I'm going to pray and light into praying. Yeah, we're going to pray a minute before y'all continue. You know what will happen? All that cussing will be gone. Yeah. Your dialogue, your direction, your demeanor. Your demeanor, your deportment, that is your behavior, your conduct. How you behave reveals your heart. Why? Come on, I'm gonna give you a million-dollar question right here. But if you get the right answer, you won't get no $1 million. Why does a dog act like a dog? Does it have to go to dog school? But Frankie, is it a dog because it eats dog food? No, it eats dog food because it's a dog. Is it a dog because it barks? No, it barks because it is a dog. Amen. Come on now. It attracts fleas. It likes laying around, hang around other dogs. You know why? That's its nature. It's a dog on the inside, therefore it's a dog on the outside. Amen. Your demeanor, your behavior reveals your heart. Well, God gave that to me this morning to just help you, because a lot of people, you can preach on heart failure and a burning heart and a cold heart and all that, and the other messages that's coming on the heart. We can preach them all day. But if you don't know really how to notice what your heart is, how to identify what your heart is, you're going to miss the messages. You're going to miss it. Well, amen, we're having a good time anyhow. But anyway, what we've looked at the causes of heart failure. We've looked at the causes of heart failure, and this was given to me, when was that, last Sunday night I preached on this? I believe it was. Miss Sherry and Brother McCarricker and Brother Tom, there's several in here that's got some medical knowledge. They all told me that heart failure, physical heart failure, is never the primary diagnosis. Meaning that it is caused. Heart failure is caused by other things. It is never the primary diagnosis. And if that's wrong, you'll have to correct them after the service. Amen. But we talked about the causes of heart failure. Blockages, lack of activity, so on and so forth. Diet, eating the wrong thing. You want heart failure physically? Just feed yourself with a bunch of garbage. Live on candy bars all your life. Amen, Brother Ivan? Sorry. Amen. Stay off the blown. I mean, feed yourself on things that is notorious to cause heart problems and you'll have it. Oh, I can make it. I can survive. Amen. Anyway, the causes of it. We talked about the sight of the enemy, the speech of the enemy, and the success or the stories of the enemy caused heart failure in 1 Samuel 17. The Bible said there in verse 32, let no man's heart fail because of him. There it is. Heart failure is not a primary diagnosis. Your heart is failing because of. Your heart is failing because of him, Goliath, that giant. What giant is defeating you today? What giant is it in your life that is keeping you defeated and is constantly defying God in your life? Did you know you can't make a pet out of Goliath? There's only one way to deal with Goliath, and you're going to have to kill him. You're going to have to kill that giant. That giant that's gotten big in your life. Amen. There's consequences. Listen, secondly, there's consequences to heart failure. There's consequences to heart failure. And I probably won't get off this point right here, but I'm going to give you this. Here's some of the consequences of heart failure. And y'all can correct me, and y'all can even, some of you that's got some medical knowledge there, add to it even. But listen to this. I've been told this and researching and talking to people that when you have heart failure, the first consequence is it shows up in affecting your strength. Everybody that I've talked to that's had heart failure or heart problems, talk about being weak. No energy. No strength. Your get up and go has got up and went. All you can do is barely exist. Hey, why would the devil want your heart to fail? Because you're weak, and if you're weak, you're easily whipped. It don't take nothing to knock somebody over that's weak. They can be much bigger and much stronger than I am. But if they're weak and they're having heart problems, then I could knock them down and whip them. The devil, I believe his number one goal, one of his chief goals in your life, is to eat away your energy, your spiritual strength, your spiritual stamina. Why? Because if he can get you weak, he can get you wicked. Because wickedness many times comes through the door of weakness. So it'll have first effect on your energy, on your strength, I mean. Weakness. Weakness works little to none. Weakness does much, almost does nothing. How many people in church is doing almost nothing for God? Weak. Heart failure. If you've got a heart for the Lord, you'll want to step up and do something, or at least try. But if you don't have a heart for the Lord, you will sit down, lay down, fall down, and do nothing for the Lord. Let me ask you something, saved person, child of God. Do you want to go to heaven having done nothing for the Lord? Do you want all the marks of your life to be left on this side of the grave? Do you want all of the accomplishments in your life to be left here? That's some good things to think about. Amen. And most people, their life consists totally of worldly accomplishments and worldly attainments. Things that will decay and rot and burn up on this earth one day. Things that you cannot take with you to heaven. It will affect your strength. In fact, many times, other times in the New Testament, it talks about fainting. Men ought to always to pray and not to faint. You know what one of the definitions of fainting is? You got it. To lose heart. When you're fainting, what does that mean? You're weak, unstable, and you're headed down. Amen. Weak. Listen, it affects your strength. I'm talking about heart failure spiritually. If your heart is failing in you, your desires are not there, your direction is wrong, your dialogue is pitiful. Amen. And your behavior is terrible. Talking about versus carnal versus spiritual. Devil can get you weak, he can get you wicked. Here's something else I've been told. A second consequence, write it down. Not only does it affect your strength, but it affects your sight. I did some research and had others to tell me as well that when there's heart failure, irregular heartbeat, things of that nature. By the way, I think a lot of Baptists have an irregular heartbeat because they're irregular. Unfaithful, irregular. It may beat today and it may not beat today. It may beat more tomorrow, it may not beat more tomorrow. We just have to wait and see. I might make it, preacher, we just have to wait and see. Had members to tell me, when we have revival, I'll try to make it one night. What? Members saying I'll try to make it one night? Irregular heartbeat. But anyway, it affects your sight. It affects you get blurred vision. Your vision loses focus. Amen. When there's heart problems. That makes sense to me. There's a big connection between your head and your heart. And last time I checked, your eyes are in your head. And if your heart problem, listen, and there's, I can't get into the medical term because I'd reveal my knowledge and everything, but I know this. I don't know the details of it, but I know your eye is filled with blood vessels and all of that. Well, what puts the blood in your eyes? Hello? Brother Craig, did you guess heart? You won the gold medal. You're the only one that responded to that. Your heart is responsible of putting blood in your eyes. And if you're having heart failure, your heart is not doing its job. Then in heart failure, there's going to be vision issues. And boy, is that evident in churches today. Blurred vision. Can't see clearly. Can't see clearly. Things lose distinction when you can't see clearly. Thirdly, write it down quickly. A third consequence of heart failure is it affects your stability. Dizziness comes into the picture when there's heart failure. Dizziness. And you know what happens when you're dizzy? You're very easy to lose your balance. Do you see the spiritual application there? When you become dizzy in your mind, in your thoughts, amen, you get dizzy and you become unstable. You become unstable. You become wobbly. Amen. As we used to use the term, you wobble on the shaft. You become unstable. You become dizzy. You lose your balance. Instead of being balanced, you start getting heavy into one area. You start getting into one ditch instead of staying in the road like you're supposed to. Heart failure. How's your heart today spiritually? If you was having physical heart problems, I promise you nobody would probably have to tell you go to the doctor. Right. Why? Because you say, preacher, that's a serious matter. If I've got my heart's causing problems, it's acting up, amen, it's irregular or whatever it is, and preacher, I'm so tired I can't hardly move and I feel this way and that way and I'm dizzy and I can't see. Hey, how about going to the doctor? Nah, I don't think so. I'll go. No, you know why? You'll go because it's serious to you. Because if your heart quits, you're gone. Why don't we treat the spiritual like that? Why don't we treat the spiritual like that? Spiritual heart. Amen. It affects your stability. Write it down, number four. It affects your steadfastness, which are closely related to that. It affects your steadfastness. It affects, number five, your sense. Sense. Talking about confusion. They tell me, you know, in research, I've been told this as well, that when there's heart issues, it puts cloudiness in your mind. Of course, your brain operates a lot off of blood, isn't that right? And if your heart's not working properly, then your brain's not getting the blood it needs and the oxygen it needs, so your thoughts are going to be fuzzy and confused. Amen. So it affects your sense. The Bible said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As a man what in his heart? Thinketh. As a man thinketh in his heart. Yeah, there's a connection between your heart and your thoughts. If your thoughts are carnal, your heart is carnal. If your thoughts, my friend, are confused, and beware, listen, come on now. Be very careful of making a major decision when you are discouraged. When you're having heart failure and your heart is filled with doubt and fear and things of that nature and your circumstances have become gigantic. Listen, you better be careful of making a decision there because it may be wrong. Amen. You better make sure you got a verse. You better make sure the Spirit of God's leading you. Amen. But it'll affect your thinking. Amen. If you don't think right, how can you live right? And then watch this. Number six, it will affect the stopping of your life. Heart failure, if left alone, will progress and continually get worse and worse. Heart failure, Miss Sherry, y'all help me out. Heart failure don't heal itself. Is that right? Miss June, I'm getting a witness. I'm getting some witnesses there. Jesus is calling Brother Bob now. Amen. Amen. Hey, listen. That's right. That's right. That was a confirmation. Thank you, Lord. But it will kill you. It'll kill you. Physical heart failure will kill you physically. Is that not right? Ladies, you in here that know that stuff, it will kill you physically if it goes on. A fool will neglect heart trouble and just allow it to go on and not try to deal with it. Why? Because it will ultimately go beyond weakness and affecting your strength and your sight and your sense and your stability and all of that. Amen. It will affect your life. It will bring death to you. How many people are, Brother Mark, they're dying in the house of God. They've got good preaching and good singing and good teaching, but they're dying. How many in RBT is dying spiritually? People die every day in good hospitals. You can be in a good church and have all of the necessary things that you need to grow as a Christian. But if you go on and continue on in heart failure, then it won't be long till that heart will flatline on you and you will be dead. And I'm telling you, I've been preaching 33 years. I do not want to die dead. I do not want to die spiritually dead. Amen. And I'm seeing a lot of the older preachers fall into that classification, Brother Jeter. I see them. I go preach for them. I'm around them a lot. I see that. They labor and they war and they stand and they fight and they're strong. But when they get on up in their sunset years of their ministry, they start compromising. They start avoiding fights. And changing their message and being non-offensive. I don't want to die like that. I want to go out the way I started. Amen. Brother Fultz, if I kick the bucket and I want, if I do, I want my funeral right here. Hallelujah. I've given my life right here. I want my funeral right here. And if y'all don't have an absolute hoedown, I'm going to haunt every one of you. Amen. Amen. I mean, brother, kick the slats out, sing the glory down, testify, shout, preach the paint off the walls. Amen. Tell the funeral directors, come back sometime this afternoon, we might be done. I've given my life to exhorting and my life to preaching and my life, my friend, old time preaching and old time worship. Amen. And when I'm gone, brother, y'all better have a spell. Amen. Amen. Don't you let that dead crowd come in here and kill the meeting. That's right. Well, I don't know why I got on that. That's almost scary, isn't it? But I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. Are you? And I'm telling you this from my heart. I'm being transparent. I spend the majority of my time trying to keep my heart right. No, preacher, not you. No, not Pastor Rackley. Not Preacher Rackley up in Rogersville. No, not you. Yes, me. And I know that if I'm in that, Brother Ivan, I guarantee you that you are as well. Keeping your heart on fire. Keeping your heart from getting cold. Keep your heart from getting calloused. Keep your heart from being carnal. Yes, sir, buddy. You keep your heart on fire for God, I promise you, you'll never quit. Keep your heart on fire for God. You'll never decline. You'll never throw in the towel, no. You'll have to quit inside before you quit outside. Church will have to get out of you before you'll ever get out of church. Amen. Normal path of heart failure will continually, increasingly get worse and worse and ending in death. How's your heart doing today? How's your heart? Or does it matter? Does it matter? Because whatever kind of heart you're in, what kind of heart you got spiritually, that's the direction you're going in. I can tell you, if you get right up here on this four lane right here, 11, and turn right, I guess that's north, and go that direction, I don't have to be a rocket scientist to tell you that you're going to end up in Kingsport in about 30 minutes. Ain't that right? Am I wrong on that? You say, preacher, that's simple. Exactly. When your life is making wrong turns and you're making decisions based on what feels good and what looks good and what helps you socially, I can tell you up ahead where you're going. The father of that man and young man in Luke 15, before the young man ever got to the far country, the daddy knew where he was going because of the direction he took. He didn't have to want, oh, you did go to the far country? Oh, I didn't know that. No, he knew he was going to the far country. I'm troubled in my heart about what's going on in a lot of churches. What's going on even in this church. People losing their heart seemingly. Amen. And if your heart goes, you're gone. If your heart goes, you're gone. Because you're going to follow your heart. Amen. Well, there's several more things I wanted to say on that, but I'm going to wait and deal with that a little bit later. Maybe tonight if the Lord leads my heart. I'm going to preach on it, Lord willing, now. If the Lord continues to lead me, I think the heart of every problem is a problem of the heart. I think I'm going to be targeting that heart, preaching on that heart, dealing with that heart. Because I believe if our heart gets right, everything else will get right. Are you willing? I'm going to ask you a major question. Are you willing to die with what you got? I'm talking about if you was facing death today. God forbid that's so. It's possible. It's possible, but God forbid that it happened. If you was looking death in the face and you knew I'm leaving this world, would you want to change your profession? Would you want to back up and say, you know what, I don't know if I am or not, preacher. I want to make sure. I need to make sure. I'm telling you, some of you need to take a Bible exam and give yourself an evaluation and look and see what the Bible says about salvation and line yourself up with it. And if you fail the test, then that's good knowledge. Then you realize, God, I'm not saved. I need to get saved. I don't want to go to hell, do you? Well, I got two responses out of that. What's wrong? Are y'all awake today? I feel like I've been preaching in a enclosed box this morning. Maybe I'm the one that needed the preaching this morning. But I'm telling you, some of you's in trouble because of your heart. Because of your heart. And guess what? Your heart don't affect me. My heart don't affect you. Your heart is your business. If you want to go on with spiritual heart failure, continuing to live your life the way you're living, doing what you're doing, that's your business. But I just got a notion that if you had physical heart failure, you would make changes. Oh, I need to stop eating that? It's done. Heart failure, I need to change that. It's done. But when it comes to spiritual, if I die and rot spiritually, they're not changing. They're not going to change nothing. God help us. Let's all stand to our feet. We tried to preach again on spiritual heart failure.